أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. صدق الله العظيم. It is only with the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If we intend counting the ni'mats and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will never be able to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are so great and so much that we can't count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored. Manna yamun is to favor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses and tells us that laqad manna Allah, surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored. Who did he favor? Laqad manna ala al-mu'mineen. He has favored the mu'mineen. And in what form and how did he favor the mu'min? Idh ba'atha fihim rasulam min anfusim. By sending a nabi for us, from amongst us, so that we may get guidance from him, learn from him and make our akhirat by following his way of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ أَنُّ فَانْتَهُ. That which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought to us, grasp tight onto it, and that which he has prohibited us from, stay away from it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, إِنِّي بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا وَلِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent into this dunya to come and teach excellent character. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his infinite mercy, informs us and tells us he has favored us. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we know about him, how do we reach to the point where we follow and believe in our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? From the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put life into him after creating him, direct under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was a green light that was shining. And the first thing was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, what is this light that is shining under? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs him that even before your presence and before you were created, I've already planned for the coming of the last and final Nabi who's going to come in your progeny right at the end of this time of the world coming to an end. So the last and final Nabi is our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How fortunate are we that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala handpicked us and chose us to be from among the followers of his last and final Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Being from his followers, we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming down the line, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam had two wives, Bibi Sarah and Bibi Hajira. From Bibi Sarah, he had a son by the name of Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. And in that progeny, his son was Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, and the son of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam was Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, and the progeny came right down up to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Knowing what was coming through and came down stages after stages till the time of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, every Nabi from the time of Adam alayhi salam, he already knew about the coming of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from there, into the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he was informed about the coming of this last and final Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked him, Ya Allah, why don't you give this ummah to me? Give me these followers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, that is for my last and final Nabi, my beloved. It is for him. This ummah is for him. When he heard about all the benefits that are going to be with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, if you don't give me this ummah, make me from amongst this ummah. Look at the amount of information every Nabi was informed about the last and final Nabi. Then came the time of Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. In his time, he also informed his people about the coming of the last and final Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From amongst his followers, the Hawariyin, after he heard so much about the beauty of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his character and what he's going to be doing, he had a desire within himself that I want to see this last and final Nabi. Is there any way I can see this last and final Nabi? So he requested Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam that are there any chances for me that I see this last and final Nabi? When Jibreel Amin came with some wahi towards that Isa alayhi salam, he sent a message with him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of my followers wishes and desires to see this last and final Nabi. After you have given me so much information of him, his heart is yearning and wants to see this last and final Nabi. Is there any way and chance for him to see? The message came back when he brought wahi again and to him, O Isa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if that follower of yours, he wants to see this last and final Nabi, he'll have to change his form, then only he'll see this last and final Nabi. Otherwise, he can't see him. So Isa alayhi salam informs his Hawari that this is the message I got back, the reply I got back. He said, I don't mind changing my form, whatever it is, as long as I see this last and final Nabi. The message goes back with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted and said, okay, we'll change his form, and he'll have to change himself into the form of a snake. Then only will he be able to see the last and final Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he'll have to wait for him till he comes. He was prepared for that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed his form. He changed his form into a snake, and he had to wait 621 years to see this last and final Nabi. He wanted to see him with his own eyes. So every Nabi was informed about the coming of this last and final Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And knowing so much about this last and final Nabi, and knowing about the Sahaba as well, not only about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but about the Sahaba also, they had full information in the kitabs. So the desire was so much that was built into them that when this last and final Nabi does come, we're going to bring iman on him. Whatever it may be, we're going to bring iman on this last and final Nabi. So positive were they. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own plans. Allah with his own plans, what he did was, when Ibrahim alayhi salam, his other wife was Bibi Hajara, and she had a son by the name of Ismail alayhi salam. And from the time of Ismail alayhi salam, right down to the bottom, there were no other Anbiya. But our last and final Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the progeny of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. The amount of information they had about the coming of this last and final Nabi was that there were people in other countries who knew how to read the sky. They used to scan the skies. As Mufti Mahmud Sabnawar Allah Maqadu mentioned it in many of his bayanats that I heard from him. He said the people used to sit and wait, and they exactly knew the correct timing and the exact time when our Nabi was sallallahu alaihi wasallam was supposed to be born, and they used to scan the skies. And the night when he was looking into the sky, and they even knew where to look for it. And the minute you see in the sky, you see the star in the sky, you say, "Hada kawkabu Muhammad." This is the star of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much information they heard about this last and final Nabi. We hear about miracles, mu'jizas. Among the mu'jizas, the first mu'jiza, I don't think in history from the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam up to this very day today, until the day of Qiyamah to come, we ever have any personality whose full life history has been recorded from before birth, his whole life history, till the day he passed away? I don't think there's anybody who's got full history or seerah of anybody. But our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, books are filled with the history of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seerah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from before birth, at the time of birth, after birth, and his whole life history till he left this dunya. We know the incident, many of us heard of it. Approximately 55 to 60 days before the coming of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know for the fact, anyone who is a ruler, he wants to show his powers, wants to show his strength, how strong and how powerful he is, because he wants to be the king. And every king, we knew in the time of Musa alayhi salam, Firaun used to say, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. He is the greatest. There's no one above him. But when he had a headache, he couldn't even solve the headache that he had, and he wanted to be Allah and claim Allah. So the incident is 55 to 60 days before the birth of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abraha, who was in Yemen, he felt that why are all the people flocking and going to Makkah Mukarramah and making tawaf around the Kaaba and going there for what reason? If I am the king, I am the ruler of the world, why don't they come to me? So he decides he wants to break down the Kaaba, take the bricks from there and go and rebuild it in Yemen. So he sends a letter, who is the chief of Makkah at that time, Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he reads the letter, he tells them, this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is his house. And Allah will look after it. Allah will protect it. Allah will see to it. The day he decides coming, we empty our homes. We empty our place. We go into the valley. We go into the mountains. And let Allah ta'ala do what he has to do in this place. And Abraha decided to come with all his elephants, as huge as they are. As they're coming towards Makkah Mukarramah, these people left and went away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, comparing the size of the ababil to the size of the elephants. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave instructions to this small little ababil to carry small little pebbles in their feet, in their claws, in their beak, and drop it onto those elephants. A small little stone like that actually cuts through and breaks through the head of the elephants. Those that were in the back seen this, they don't want to go further anymore, and they all decide to turn and go back from there. This was the first mu'ajiza of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he was born also. And as I mentioned, when they were scanning the skies, when they saw the star, they knew that the birth of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there and he's present already. They were all waiting to accept Iman. But when they seen the lineage and the progeny where he came from, that was the cause of friction where they did not want to accept Iman. Because he came from the lineage of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born. But before that, our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father was sent on a business trip by his father. And as the caravans that were coming back again, Bibi Amina asking every caravan, have you seen my husband? Have you seen my husband? She gets no reply. Till finally, one caravan that comes and tells her that your husband has passed away on the road while we were coming back. This became a means of sorrow for her, that she was sitting now going to expect our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's not going to be having a father. This was playing on her mind. But the slave girl that was with her, Umm Ayman, kept on consoling and giving a comfort. This is the will of Allah, accept the will of Allah. When our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is born, Abdul Muttalib, he is the grandfather, he takes over the caring of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He takes him to the Kaaba and presents him in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes aqiqah for him and names him Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And according to the custom of Saudi Arabia at that time, people used to come from the countryside. They used to come and come into the town area, and wherever there were little babies that were born, they used to come and take these babies to the clean environment. We know what happens in town. We get pollution and whatever it is, and the type of language people start using there. So to give them clean and pure environment, they used to come and take the children out back into the countryside and care for them. And when it was right for them, they used to bring them back to their parents. So at that time, after 7 days, there was a group of a caravan of ladies that were coming with their camels. It just so happens that the camel of Bibi Halima Sadia radiallahu ta'ala anha, her camel was very weak, could not cope with the rest of the caravan. They kept up with her for a little while, and they thought, we are going to stay behind with her. Our journey is getting prolonged. Let us carry on. So they carried on. When they came near Makkah Mukarramah, they left their camels there, and all of them went into Makkah Mukarramah, going door to door, house to house, seeing where there is a child who they could take and go and care for. In the norm at that time, today we all know for the fact, everybody looks for a little bit of money. Wherever there's money involved, they want money. So they knew any child that had a father, they're going to get good money for caring and looking after that little child that they're going to take home with them. So every home that they went, they found whenever they came to the home of Bibi Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, they saw this got no father and they left him. Each one that came left our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then, after Bibi Halima comes and all are gone from there, she comes last and she leaves her camel. And she also thought, whatever is my luck, I will take whatever I can take. And as she comes into Makkah Mukarramah, she goes to a few houses and see the children already gone from there. There's no one left. When it comes to the house of Bibi Amina radiallahu anha, and she asks, and Bibi Amina says, I've got my son. If you are prepared, you can take. She thought to herself, whatever the consequences are, at the end of the day, he's got no father. He's an orphan. Let me take him. I will look after him. I will care for him. And the minute she took our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in her hands, her breast filled up with milk, which she never thought will ever happen. And he hugged onto her in such a way that he felt comfortable in her arms. From then she comes, when she reaches where the caravan is, the minute she reaches there, the camel that was there showed so much joy. We don't see it, we don't know it. But the animals also recognized who our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And when she prepared and put everything on, she put our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the basket and she gets onto the camel. But the camel just don't want to move. It doesn't want to move from there. Finally, she thought, there may be something not right. Let me take him and put him in front of my eyes so that I can look at him and care and see what happens so that I can take full vision of him wherever I'm traveling. So the minute she took him and put him in front, that camel stood up and started walking. And it moved at such a pace, wherever the camel was walking, it found grass where it was moving. And it found grass and started eating. And the other ladies who came first, this camel was moving fast in front and walked right through in front of them and reached home before them all. So this showed us the effect of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of his other miracles was that how that camel accepted and was showing the happiness by seeing our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and carrying our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his back. Nevertheless, when they reached home, Bibi Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, taking care of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as she had to. And according to the custom, every 4 months, every 6 months, they used to come back and come and show the baby to the parents so that they also get a little bit of attachment and the bond that they need with the child. So Bibi Amina also used to bring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to, as a Bibi Halima used to bring our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his mother. And she used to enjoy that few moments and then he goes back again. Time came, our Bibi Halima radiallahu anha created such a bond that she was now gone so used to him for the barakat that he brought into her house. The goats that were there started having full milk in them. The camel was nice and healthy. And one beauty part is, where Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi also mentioned that when our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fed, and when she breastfed him, he only drank from the one side. The minute she turns him to put him on the other side, he doesn't drink, he doesn't even put the breast into his mouth. The reason was, he wanted justice. Justice at that age when he was so small as well. That if I have to share with my foster brother, with my foster sister, then I will only drink from the one side, the other side I've got to live for them as well. If I can't take from their share. Look at the beauty from the childhood, what he did. As he grew up, she was so attached to him. Now, like we say in our English terms, a tug-of-war. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is between two people now. One is Bibi Halima radiallahu anha. She doesn't want to let go of him because of the love and affection and the barakat and the beauty and the life that he brought into her home. And the other said his mother wants him back and wants her son back to be in her care and enjoy him while he's in that young age of his. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his infinite mercy, what does he do at the age of 4? While he's gone grazing with the other brothers, and while they are there, two malaika come down at the place where they are grazing, and they lift his kurta and they cut his chest open. The minute this happened, the big brothers, the sons of Hazrat Halima Saadia, they went running home, telling their mother, "Oh my mother, do you know what has happened? There are two people dressed in white. They got hold of that young brother of ours. They cut his chest open." You can imagine if a mother has to hear something like this, what will happen to her? But she comes running from her home. And the minute she reaches our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she hugs him and she opens his chest and asks him, "My child, what happened to you? What has happened?" He explained to her the whole incident. But when she sees there's not a scar, not a mark, anything on to it. "But what happened?" She said, "No, they cut my chest open, they took my heart, they washed it, and they put it back in the clothes." But she said, "I don't see anything like that here. This is what they did. This is what has happened." So from this, what do we understand? When we have children at home, they are ready and prepared to start learning and understanding from the age of 4. We start teaching them the right upbringing from the age of 4 is the time when you've got to start teaching them the right manners, the right upbringing, and taking up from there. This was one of the signs that our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through and went past, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that Allah washed it and put wisdom into his heart. And from that time, his life changed, that he had to be of a different standard and of a different level. He was going to be the Nabi, so he had to build up that type of character in him. Finally, when she heard this and saw the situation, she thought, "If something worse happens, what am I going to do? Rather, let me take him nicely and go and give him to his mother." So Allah Ta'ala made it such that the mother is waiting for the child. She doesn't want to let go, but Allah had plans of making him a Nabi and taking him forward. So she takes him and brings him to Bibi Amina radiallahu ta'ala, and he is your son. He's now 4 years of old age. Now you can care for him. She enjoys the childhood of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in and out in her home, in her lap, jumping, playing as children play with their parents. But when he reaches the age of 6, she decides that he knows the environment, He knows the people in Makkah Mukarramah. He knows his uncles that are there. He knows his aunts that are there. And he knows his grandfather. But he doesn't know the mother's side, the paternal relationship. He doesn't know. So she decides making a trip and a journey and taking him to go and show her her family place and her birthplace and the place where she came from. So there is Madina Munawwara. They stay there for some time in Madina Munawwara. When it's time for them to come back, they leave from Madina Munawwara, and as they come to a place called Abuwa, Bibi Amina radiallahu anha, health deteriorates, and she gets sick, and she passes away there in Abuwa. She is now buried there in Abuwa. And Umme Ayman, coming with our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the age of 6, coming into Makkah Mukarramah. She reaches Makkah Mukarramah and goes straight to Abdul Muttalib. Oh, Abdul Muttalib, I've come here with some sad news for you, that your daughter-in-law has left this world, and I brought your grandson, and I'm living into your care. Abdul Muttalib, with tears in his eyes, understanding, now my grandson don't have any parents at all, I will take up the task, and I will look after him and care for him the best that I can. Abdul Muttalib looks after him till the age of 8. When he reaches the age of 8, as time comes, we all know kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every living being has got to taste death. When he got that sick, he called his son Abu Talib. Oh, Abu Talib, this is your nephew. He is your brother's son. I don't think I'm going to live longer. I leave him in your care. And you see that you look after him, you care for him, and see nobody touches him and nobody harms him. Just after that, Abdul Muttalib leaves the world, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is under the care of his uncle, Abu Talib. Abu Talib, true to the instructions of his father, cared for our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam up to the age that when our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the age of 51. From the age of 8 up to the age of 51 was the lifespan that Abu Talib looked after our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and gave him his full support that he needed. He cared for him. He looked after him and gave him the full support that he needed. When finally he reaches the age of 12, he thought, now he's of certain age, and let me take him along with me. And he asked, oh, my uncle, can't I join you and go with you? I see you leave me and go away many a times. So he said, I'll take you with. At the age of 12, he takes him on his journey, a business trip. On his way, he come to a place where there was a friend of Abu Talib, Buhayra. Because of good friendship, he went there and he meets him. And as he meets him, Buhayra asks Abu Talib, who is this little boy with you? Can you tell me? Abu Talib says, he is my nephew. He looks at him and scans him properly. After looking at him, he says, oh, Abu Talib, let me tell you something. In our kitab, it is mentioned that the last and final Nabi, these are going to be the qualities. When he looked into the eyes of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the white that is there, it had red lines into it, certain lines that were there. And when he saw this, he said, this is definitely what is mentioned in our kitab concerning the last and final Nabi, and this is who he is. See, from our experience of information that we have, while you were coming to me, you rested, and this little boy rested under that certain tree that was there. You see, from the information that we have, only a Nabi rests under that tree, nobody else will rest under that tree. This was another sign, the karamat of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mu'jiz of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he said, bring him closer. When he brought him closer, he opened up between his shoulders and he saw a small little lump between the two shoulders and he kissed it. He said, oh, Abu Talib, this is the seal of prophethood that's mentioned in our kitab as well. Look at the amount of information that the non-Muslims had. What does the Quran say? وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. Only if the Ahlul Kitab brought iman, would have been better for them, and for their akhirat also should have been made. The amount of information they had. And then he told Abu Talib, do me a favor. you go right back from here and go back to Makkah. You don't carry on with your journey for your business stuff, you go back from here. Because if the people in Sham, if they see this little boy, they're going to kill him. Because they are not going to be prepared to accept him because he came in the progeny of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Talib knew the friendship that he had. He knew what he was telling him. He went back to Makkah. But when he went to Makkah, this short trip of his brought him more profit than what he used to make going up to Sham and coming back. This was his first step of how he learned business and trade from his uncle Abu Talib. As time went along, growing nearly the age of 20, he started becoming a very good and well-known businessman. He knew very well how to do business. And just a little bit after that, when he got so much prominence among the people, was the time when Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha heard about the qualities of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no comparison like him in the whole of Makkah Mukarramah at that time. When she heard about him, heard about his dealings, heard about his character, his honesty, she decided to employ him. When she employed him, first thing is he went to his uncle. Oh, my uncle, I've been given an offer of employment. She wants to keep me to do business on her behalf, and I must go and do business for her. Abu Talib seen the situation, understood the situation, and accepted the job for him. And the first thing was, she sent her slave, Maisara. You go with him and go onto the strip and come back and give me full report. Went onto the journey, came back from the journey, and she asked him, what did you see and what have you experienced on the strip? He says, you know what? From the time I left here till we reached where we went and came back, the sun never shone on us. There was a cloud that moved over us all the time till our whole journey and came back. And the amount of profit our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made was all the other people that were employed by Bibi Khadija radhiyallahu anha, all of them put together, the profit our Nabi made was much more than all of them put together. This was the barakat that our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought with him as he was doing business as well. Till finally, when Bibi Khadija saw the good character, the good nature, that's why he says, "Inni bu'ithtu mu'alliman wa liutammima makarim al-akhlaq." I've been sent into this dunya to teach excellent character, excellent character. And when she saw this, that was the turning point, and she had a friend by the name of Atika. Atika was the sister of Abu Talib. And she confided in him and told, "Oh Atika, I need a favor from you. Can you please go to your brother and make a proposal to him that I intend getting married to your nephew?" She goes and she speaks to her brother Abu Talib. Abu Talib says there couldn't be a better opportunity than this, because every person in Makkah at that time wished to marry her, but she refused every proposal that came. And yeah, she made a proposal on her own. What do we learn from you? Many a times we know, some of us, we feel embarrassed in the dunya today, that if we have a daughter, we can't go and make proposal if there's a good boy suitable for our daughters. We feel hard and difficult to make a proposal for it. But this is the sunnah. Bibi Khadija makes a proposal to our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what is taught to us. How many things we learn from the life of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talib accepts the offer, accepts the proposal, and he sends a message back, and the nikah takes place at the age of 25. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam marries Hazrat Bibi Khadija radiallahu anha at the age of 25. She was at the age of 40. From here, the life carried on as a married life. From there, he had his children, and the children that he had. There came a time around about at the age of 35, a problem came about in Makkah Mukarramah, and the Kaaba walls were cracked and causing problem, so decided they had to rebuild the Kaaba again. When they did this, the time came now to put the Hajar Aswad onto it, and it was now a tug of war between the people again, that who won the honor to put that Hajar Aswad back. Just then, they decided that we'll leave this offered. The first person that comes by the Kaaba in the morning, he will have the first chance and first opportunity, he must decide. It was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the first person to enter by the Kaaba. When they came in the morning, when they seen him there, there was a shout, Al-Amin, As-Sadiq Al-Amin. They said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most appropriate person to do this job for us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hikmah, gave him wisdom. And what he did was, he said he wants to include everybody. He took that Hajar Aswad, put it onto a sheet, and he told the chiefs of every tribe, you all carry the sheet and bring it. When he brought it to the Kaaba, and he fitted it in. By the life of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very long. How far are we going to carry on? If Allah give us some tawfiq and some chance again, we can carry on in his life from here thereafter, inshallah, when he receive prophethood, after the prophethood, and the life after that, inshallah. Make do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength and the tawfiq and the ability of valuing our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing about our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We read the kalima la ilaha illallah. When we read Muhammadur Rasulullah, how much do we know about our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We've got to take out some time and understand who our Nabi is, what he did in this life, what he went through, and for who did he go through. It's for us. All his life was only for his ummah. He was more worried for his ummah than anybody else. I'll end up with a small little incident to show us the love that our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has for us. Not had, has for us. There was once where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting amongst the Sahaba, and he mentioned to the Sahaba, I would like to meet my brothers. The Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, aren't we your brothers? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, you are my companions. My brothers are those who brought iman on me without seeing me. So we can imagine the bond our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has got for us is beyond imagination. The time when his son Sayyidina Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, he was sad, sorrow. Who don't get sad when their beloved child leaves the dunya and go? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also a human like us. He also had that feeling in him. But when he came home, his beloved wife, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, approaches him and says, oh my beloved husband, I know for the fact every Nabi was given a dua. If they asked, it was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they all asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today is your chance. I know Allah has given you also one dua. Why don't you make dua to Allah Ta'ala, Allah brings your son back, and then we can have him amongst us, we can play with him, enjoy his childhood, and enjoy with him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? Say, oh my beloved wife, oh Aisha, if I make dua, Allah will bring him back. What guarantee have I got he's going to live for 10 years or 15 years or 5 years or 10 days? I got no guarantee. He will come back and he lives again. I've lost. But the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, I have reserved that dua. That dua that Allah has given me, He has guaranteed for me. I have reserved that dua. And that dua I have reserved for the day of Qiyamah, when every loving soul on the day of Qiyamah is going to say, Ya Rabbi Nafsi, Ya Rabbi Nafsi. I'm going to be putting my head in sajda under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati. This is the love of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us. May do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that true love that we bring his life, stay in our life, where he says, Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Man ahabba sunnati, that person who loves my sunnah, faqad ahabbani, he should love to me. Wa man ahabbani, and that person who loves me, كان معي في الجنة والدي وثمي من جنة وآخر الدعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والإسيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اغننا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك من سواك. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. You may have been wondering what happened to that snake that I mentioned to you about. When you all heard about the incident of Hijrah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time when he made Hijrah, it was the time when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he took his sheet, a shawl, and he closed every hole that was present in that cave of Thur. There was one hole that was left where he didn't have a piece of sheet or a piece of blanket to put inside. So he put his heel onto that place and he closed that hole up. Then he called our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in there and told, Ya Rasulullah, the place is ready, come inside. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rested his head onto the thigh of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after some time, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, tears running down his cheeks, and one drop fell onto the cheek of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he got up and asked, Ya Abu Bakr, what's wrong? He said, Ya Rasulullah, something has bit me under my heel, and I'm worried. If I die, who's going to go with you in Hijrah? Who's going to join you in your journey of Hijrah? How are you going to manage? I'm worried about that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, take your leg away. When he pulled his leg out, that snake came out from inside and looked at our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It had a full conversation with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullah mentioned this. He had a full conversation with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the time when that snake explained to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what happened in the time when I was with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and this was the condition. I had to wait for you in this cave for 620 years just to see your face. And Abu Bakr puts his foot there and stops me from seeing you. He smiled with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a good time with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had his heart full to see the face of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he went back into the hole and went away.